Now we turn to another story involving sexual violence against women and men, many of whom are also dealing with life and death situations in the world's hotspots. But now we are talking about people who serve the country in uniform. Last week, 17 military veterans, 15 women and 2 men, filed a federal class action lawsuit against Defense Secretary Robert Gates and his predecessor, Donald Rumsfeld. The plaintiffs describe circumstances in which they say they were raped and otherwise sexually abused, but their superiors did not investigate the charges, in some cases ridiculed them, and in many cases forced victims to work alongside their alleged attackers. Panayota Britsikis is one of the plaintiffs. She says she was raped in 2006 by a fellow member of the Coast Guard, that nothing was done about it. She was verbally abused by colleagues and superiors after the fact, after she reported the incident to her commanding officer. She's now the executive director of an organization called the Military Rape Crisis Center, and she's with us now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
I should also say that we called upon the Pentagon's Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office for a comment, and the director of that office, Kay Whitley, first agreed to appear on the program. But although we assured Ms. Whitley, per her request, that she would speak directly to me in a one-on-one conversation, we were subsequently informed that she would not be appearing. So we regret that. So, Panayota, let's turn to you. I wanted to ask more about the circumstances that brought you to this place, and I'm sorry, I realize it's difficult to talk about, but would you tell us what happened to you?
I enlisted in the Coast Guard in 2005. In 2006, I reported a rape to my command at Coast Guard Station, Burlington, Vermont, and my executive petty officer told me to shut up about the rape and to leave his office. After it was reported to his supervisor, the executive officer, I was forced to continue working with my perpetrator for over a month, living on the same floor as him in military housing, and being reprimanded and abused further by pretty much the entire station and knew what was happening. After being transferred to Coast Guard Station Boston, the abuse continued to happen, and eventually in May 2007, I was involuntarily discharged from service on the basis of a misdiagnosis.
What does that mean?
The Coast Guard told me that I was having problems adjusting to being raped, and therefore I can no longer serve in the military. They told me I was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and from there, because of that, I can no longer serve in the Coast Guard.
Wait a minute. So they're saying you can no longer serve in the Coast Guard because you had post-traumatic stress after suffering a rape, but they never investigated the rape.
Well, it was so-called investigated, but they found that there were no credible evidence that a rape occurred, even though my perpetrator has confessed to what he have done.
So you were never examined. You never had a medical exam. None of the protocols that exist in civilian life, that none
no,
of that happened.
None of that, no.
And I just feel that it's appropriate to describe some of the circumstances that we are talking about. Now, in your case, you had gone on a social hike with someone who you thought was a friend. Do I have that right?
Yeah, I mean, we were at a 28-person station. We were, you know, we were shipmates. We were stationed together. If something happened, you know, I'm supposed to defend his life. He's supposed to defend my life, you know. When you go out hiking or in a social event, you're not going to assume, like, that same person is going to rape you.
And he physically overpowered you and beat you up, in essence. So there were physical injuries, presumably, that you brought to the attention of your officers, right?
Correct. I was bruised up. I had a black eye and I was bleeding.
And there were other incidents that were described in the lawsuit, for example, where another woman in the Coast Guard described after she reported the incident that she was actually hit by a supervisor and she was also raped again, she reports, by the same person. And there were other incidents where Marines were reporting that they had been, you know, raped by more than one party, that the incident was videotaped. She sustained numerous injuries, and the videotape was circulated in her unit, and the incident still was not investigated. Do you have any sense, since you've been involved in activism around this issue in the years after this happened to you, what is your sense of why this continues to happen? Do you have any sense of that?
Well, specifically in my case, I was at a 28-person station up in Vermont, so the nearest support unit was over 200 miles away. So us being pretty much isolated, it was easy to pretend this didn't happen, pretend my allegations were false, or ignore my allegations. Nobody wants a sexual assault allegation to happen under their command. doesn't look good for the military. The military main mission is recruitment. Since we do have an all-voluntary military, a lot of people may be deferred from even enlisting.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about a lawsuit that alleges that numerous rape and sexual abuse cases in the U.S. military are all but ignored, even covered up in some cases. We're speaking with one of the plaintiffs, Panayota Berzikis. Now, there were two males who were part of this lawsuit as well. Can you just tell us what the circumstances were involving them?
They were both assaulted by their colleagues, and both cases were pretty much thrown out. Both of them were involuntarily discharged from service, so they both lost their jobs.
And as we mentioned, we tried to get some response from the Pentagon on this matter. And as we discussed earlier, they declined to join our conversation after initially telling us that they would. But the Defense Secretary, Robert Gates, was interviewed about this issue last week, and he was quoted as saying that the matter is of grave concern. And he was quoted as saying that the Pentagon has expanded the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator and Victim Advocates. The number of victim advocates has increased tenfold from 300 to 3,000. They say they now have advocates at every base and installation in the world, including those in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they also say that the court-martial percentages have increased from about 30% to 52%. He says that they are making headway. How do you respond to that?
Well, actually, the court-martial statistics right now as of fiscal year 09 is at 10%. In comparison to the civilian sector, those charged on similar charges at 40% would end up in court. And those 24-hour hotlines that you're supposed to call, I have cases where survivors called those 24-hour hotlines where you're supposed to call and talk to a victim advocate after an assault, and those phones are not being picked up by anyone. Their emails and phone calls are not answered. So I haven't seen any difference since the Department of Defense have done the Sexual Assault Prevention Response Office. There haven't been much difference in now and what happened to me in 06.
What are you hoping will happen as a result of the lawsuit?
We're hoping to see a higher prosecution of rapists to be prosecuted and sent to prison. We'd like to have a mandatory sex offender list similar to that of the civilian sector. We want less authority by the command and have a non-military oversight of the entire program, and then the command to be held accountable if they are known to cover up a rape.
Do you mind if I ask you before we let you go, how do you think that this has affected your life?
Well, I'm diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I do have difficulty sleeping. I do have anxiety and flashbacks constantly over what happened to me in the Coast Guard that they're still denying to this day that it happened. And then even after you leave the service, I've been tracked down by people I serve with. You know, they tracking me down on Facebook and all the social media sites and continue the verbal abuse. You know, it doesn't end when you sign your discharge papers. Like, it continues on until this day, you know, 4 years, 5 years later.
I'm not making you responsible for what happened to you, but I am interested if you have an opinion about why you think people behave in this way. Do you think it's a thing where they just really don't want women there?
I feel like every case is different. In my case, it's field leadership. My chief in Burlington allowed a culture that was abusive to females. The very first day that I met my chief, he told me straight out he did not feel females should be in the Coast Guard. And from there, that being the highest ranking person in the station, he allowed it under his leadership to have females continue to be victimized and harassed because of their gender.
But to the basic point that the leadership, the civilian leadership of the Pentagon says that they recognize this is a serious problem and that they are working on it, what do you say?
Considering the cases I'm getting, a lot of the active duty cases are coming through my organization. Not much has been done throughout the years I've been working with sexual assault survivors. It's the same response from the command and from the military.
This is Panayota Berzikis. She's one of 17 plaintiffs in a lawsuit against the Defense Department, the current Secretary of Defense, and his predecessor. The plaintiffs say that rape and sexual assault cases are not taken seriously by the military. They're seeking monetary damages and reforms to the system. And as we mentioned, we had sought a conversation with Kay Whitley, the director of the Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office from the Department of Defense. She had initially agreed to join us, and then we were informed that she would not be joining us. But Pani Unit Brasikas is the executive director of the Military Rape Crisis Center. She was with us from Boston, Massachusetts. Pani Unit, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.